Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly. These are the top 10 films of 2023.
This week, I would like to talk about my choices for the 10 best movies of 2023. So looking over the past year, now that the new year has begun, and yep, I've got 10 of them. I've got some runners up too, but I will confine myself to the top 10. And as I guess is customary in these cases, I will count down from number 10. So number 10, it's the lowest one on my list, but it's still one of the very best movies of the past year, Naiad. This is a movie that was actually a TV movie. It's very readily available by streaming. And it is about, as the title may suggest, about the swimmer Diana Nyad. Way back, now 11 years ago, in 2013, she tried to swim the Straits of Florida. And she tried to do this without a shark cage, that is, swimming all the way from Cuba to Florida without anything to protect her from sharks. And she's got a boat with her the whole time, of course, for safety reasons, but she's not allowed to even touch the boat, or the attempt will not be an official one. So that's what the movie is about. So it's very much about this very focused effort. And by the way, it took Diana Nyad quite a number of tries to finally accomplish this. It's an extraordinarily suspenseful movie, a really beautifully done movie, and it stars as the title character, Annette Bening. And it is, in my opinion, the most sensational performance of the year. It is just amazing. Makeup has a lot to do with it, because there are times when she's in extreme distress, and the prosthetics department moved in and gave a lot of help, but still, Bening gives just what I consider an extraordinary performance, and it really has to be recognized. Also, we have Jodie Foster and Rhys Ifans in supporting roles, and they are both very good too. But it is really Annette Bening's movie and Diana Nyad's movie, and very much the filmmaker's movie. It was directed by Elizabeth Chai, Vasserhelyi, and Jimmy Chin. They've made movies before. This is their first fiction feature film, and they did a splendid job with it. So highly recommended. I think one of the 10 best movies of the year, Nyad. Number two, American Fiction. This is a movie written and directed by a new filmmaker named Cord Jefferson, and it is based on the novel Erasure by Percival Everett, a very good novel, I can testify, which came out back in the very early 2000s, 2001. And we have Jeffrey Wright giving, an amazing performance. Jeffrey Wright is just one of the best actors we have, and he's brilliant in this movie. He plays a black novelist, also a professor, who is very upset that his novels, which are based on ancient Greek plays, just aren't attracting an audience. And some people tell him that, well, this is because they're not black enough. You're a black writer. You should be writing black type stuff. So as a sort of a frustrated stunt, he produces a novel which is just a complete pile of cliches of what a really ignorant person might consider a black novel to be like. And of course, it turns out to be a big hit. So that's what the movie's about. And it is called American Fiction. I think too generic a title to really garner the kind of attention that the movie deserves. Probably a flasher title would get a bigger audience for the film. But it's a very, very good film. It's on very timely topics, beautifully acted by Jeffrey Wright, Tracy Ellis Ross, and others, and very, very assuredly directed by Cord Jefferson. So a movie I can really recommend, American Fiction. A very, very good movie. And a year that brought us more black movies than we have often seen in single years. This is, I think, the best of them. Next of all, I got three documentaries on my list, and the first one to come up at the number eight position is Menu Plaisir Les Trois Gros. And this is the name of a restaurant and the name of the family that owns and operates the restaurant. And it is a documentary by the very, very great veteran documentary maker, Frederick Wiseman. He usually these days, for many years now, makes very long movies. And yep, Menu Plaisir is about 4 hours long. And it is just a beautifully, visually sumptuous, gorgeous, portrait of this restaurant, what goes on when the customers are there, what goes on behind the scenes, what goes on when the owner operators of the restaurant have to go out into the countryside to deal with their suppliers and so forth. Again, a total feast for the eyes, and if you have the proper kind of imagination, a feast for the taste buds as well. A very, very fine documentary. Number seven, Maestro. Yep. The movie about Leonard Bernstein, who is played by Bradley Cooper in a very, very fine performance. He also directed the movie and co-wrote the screenplay. And his wife is played by the always wonderful Carey Mulligan, plays his wife Felicia Montealegre, who was also a TV personality back in the day. I want to salute it, first of all, because it is just a movie about high culture. It's a movie about the great, great, great composer, conductor, who did everything ranging from the world's greatest concert halls to the Broadway stage and movies. An astonishingly versatile and brilliant person in American music and in world music, and again, beautifully played by Bradley Cooper. And the movie is also a visual knockout. It has some really sensational, exciting camera work in it. So a movie I can recommend on many levels. Maestro, again, by Bradley Cooper, who is emerging as, I think, a very major filmmaker, and a really good movie. Number six, All of Us Strangers. Another category, I mentioned black films before. Gay films are having more and more of a profile these days, and making up for lost time, certainly decades and decades of lost time. And All of Us Strangers in the number six spot was written and directed by a guy named Andrew Hay, and he's been around for a while now. And what he specializes in is movies with gay subjects and gay characters. And in this case, we have a guy played by Andrew Scott, and by the way, another one of the very, very finest performances of the year, who's a screenwriter whose new screenplay, his new project just isn't going anywhere, and he somehow becomes friends with a sort of a strange young man who lives in his apartment building, and this eventually turns into an affair, and yes, on one level, this movie is a gay love story, but it's a whole lot more than that, because our main character, because his project isn't going anywhere, and it takes a little while for this love affair to get going, he goes to just look at the old house where he grew up. And who is there but his parents? And they look younger than him. And they've been dead for many years, so this is very mysterious. And as the movie proceeds, we have both his carrying on his new love affair and his visiting with his parents in the old house. And we can wonder, as the movie goes on, is he slipping into some sort of psychosis, or is he having very vivid dreams? Because we sometimes do see him waking up from what appear to be dreams. Or is there something really supernatural going on here? Well, the movie, I will admit, never quite resolves this, and that, for me, is one of the tantalizing qualities of it. It's a wonderful movie, beautifully acted, beautifully done, with a haunting atmosphere to it. Highly recommended, halfway up my 10 best list. All of Us Strangers. Lovely, lovely movie. And now my number five movie, another documentary, Beyond Utopia. This is directed by Madeline Gavin, and it's an American movie, even though it totally deals with issues around North Korea. And the main character of this film, he's not the only important character, and he's not the only character who does this, but he's a pastor in South Korea who has been helping to rescue people who have defected from North Korea. He's been doing this since the beginning of the 21st century, and the movie is very much about his efforts to rescue these people who escape from North Korea or are trying to escape from North Korea and are putting their lives in terrible danger. And we get a good portrait of what North Korea is like, this complete police state, totally walled off, or almost totally, from the rest of the world. And we have the heroic efforts of this pastor and various others to try to rescue these people, to try to help them. It's an enormously suspenseful movie. There are no reconstructions or recreations or acted portions in this movie. We have a whole lot of cell phone footage that people have taken of their actual efforts to get out of the country and to get to safety. An incredibly suspenseful movie, an incredibly humanistic movie, and a really, really fascinating documentary. Moving up to number four on my 10 best of the year list, another documentary, De Humani Corporis Fabrica, which means On the Fabric of the Human Body. And this is a French movie by the team of Lucien Castan-Taylor and Verena Paravel. And what they like to do is to train their cameras on some subject and just give us a really immersive visual, audiovisual portrait of that subject. And in this case, they went to a whole bunch of hospitals, largely in France, and they got footage filming through the probes that the medical people put into our bodies to examine the different parts of our bodies, doing surgery, preparing for surgery, doing diagnoses, all that sort of thing. So if you don't want really close-up views of the human body, and sometimes the human body in distress, and by the way, all the comments of the medical people while they're doing this, if you don't want that, then stay away from Dehumani Corporis Fabrica. I found it absolutely fascinating. And again, what movies are largely about is seeing things, and this movie shows you things you have not seen before. Number three, moving up near the top of my 10 best of the year list, is The Zone of Interest, directed by Jonathan Glazer. And this is a remarkable and unusual movie. It is a Holocaust movie. It deals with a Nazi death camp, but it deals with it in ways that we have never seen before, because the whole focus of this movie is on the household of the commander of the death camp. Him, his wife, his kids, a mother-in-law comes to visit, this kind of stuff. And that is who we are spending almost the whole movie with. And around the edges, of course, are all of the horrific things that go on during the operations of a death camp, during the depths, or should we call it the heights, of the Holocaust. And that is what this movie is. It's a really, really daring concept, a really, really unusual concept, and it is chilling in ways that most Holocaust movies are chilling, but not chilling in quite the ways in which this is. It's bone chilling in a lot of ways, because it really deals with that old famous phrase from the philosopher Hannah Arendt, the banality of evil, which is a word that she used about the Eichmann trial, about the people who are the bureaucrats of the Holocaust. This is the demonstration of that banality of evil at feature film length. And it is just fascinating and just brilliant and beautifully acted and an amazing movie that really breaks new ground. I always quote my old friend, the great film critic Stuart Kloans, who when somebody said to him, oh, do we really need another Holocaust documentary? He said, well, how many do we need? Maybe 6 million would be an appropriate number to start with. They keep piling up. And I have to say, The Zone of Interest is different from any Holocaust film I've seen before. And it is one of the very, very greatest. Number two on my list of the top 10 films of the year is Reality, directed by Tina Satter. And this is another fascinating movie, and another movie with a whole lot of history and politics connected to it, although it's more recent history than some of the films I've talked about. This is about Reality Winner, the woman who worked in American intelligence and decided that some stuff just had to be leaked to the public, even though that was completely against the laws, the rules, the regulations, and she put herself in grave legal difficulty by doing this. And sure enough, the next thing you know, the authorities were there, and they were detaining her, and they were questioning her. So that is what the movie Reality is all about. It stars Sydney Sweeney in a remarkable performance as Reality Winner. Now, a fascinating thing about this movie is that it was the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who interrogated Reality Winner over a period of time, and all of the dialogue from the movie, every speck of it, every bit of it, comes from the transcript of that interrogation. So even though, yes, we have an actor playing Reality Winner and actors playing the other characters and all of that, what we have is complete authenticity in terms of every word we hear is from the actual transcript of the interrogation. It's a fascinating situation. It's a fascinating movie. It's brilliantly directed. It's brilliantly acted, especially by Sydney Sweeney, but the people in the smaller roles are excellent as well. And it's a movie which I highly recommend. It's about things which remain very, very topical and timely right now. And it's just a fascinating movie. It took me by surprise when I saw it. And I really, really highly recommend it. Now, I'm about to mention my number one movie for the year 2023. And I have to say, like some of the other movies I've mentioned, it's not going to be familiar to people the way a lot of the years, say, superhero movies were familiar just to hear their names mentioned. I have to say, in this wonderful age we live in of home video and DVDs and Blu-rays and streaming, seek these movies out because they're well worth seeing. And that goes for my number one film of 2023, Pacifiction. directed by a very, very fine filmmaker named Albert Serra. It's a European production. Its provenance is from several European countries. And the movie, the main base of it is the island of Tahiti in French Polynesia. And the main character is a guy named De Rollet, and he is a very, very high French official on the island of Tahiti. And he is a diplomat, and he is just as smooth and as polished and as calculating as we might expect a diplomat to be. And what we have through this whole movie, which, by the way, is a very, very long movie, we have him just moving around from place to place and having meetings with people and dealing with people and negotiating with people and manipulating people and all of this. And it is just fascinating to look at. Benoît Magimel plays him in a brilliant, beautiful performance that is just the anchor of the movie. And during all this, a submarine has been sighted out in the sea, and some people are worried that French nuclear testing may be coming back. And that is one of the things that our main character is dealing with. So this is a movie which has a gradual pace, not a whole lot of dynamic storyline, but is absolutely engrossing, enveloping. It's a movie about mood, atmosphere, tone, and I just found it riveting from start to finish. A lot of people agree with me on that, and I would strongly suggest seeking it out. Pacifiction by Albert Serra, my pick for the very best movie of 2023. So that is my best of the year story this week.
For which we thank you as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. This week, the top 10 films of 2023.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.